Hi, I'm Mike Sainsbury, and welcome to this Landmark ASI cast. Landmark in that it is the 50th in the occasional series, and you'll be able to hear the others archived on our website, asiconferences.com. On such an occasion, we thought we would ask Tom Denford, co-founder of independent media consultancy IDComs, to develop some of the thoughts behind an article he published recently entitled The Week That Changed Media Forever. In this ASI cast, Brian Jacobs asks Tom for his views on the significance of the recent speech by Mark Pritchard of P&G, in which he outlined to the ANA his media transparency action plan.
Right, hi everybody, this is Brian Jacobs, and today I'm delighted to say I'm having a conversation with Tom Denford of IDComs. So, morning, Tom.
Good morning, Brian.
So, Tom, maybe you could start by saying a little bit about IDComs and what you do. I mean, we're talking here to a sort of worldwide audience, although there's obviously a bias towards the UK and Europe. So there'll be one or two unenlightened people who don't know what you do and who you are. So maybe you could just start by saying a bit about that.
Good. Okay, we'll hunt those people down. Yeah. Thanks for inviting me on. It's really good to speak to you this morning. I'm co-founder of IDComs. We're an independent media consulting business. So we provide advisory and services to multinational advertisers when they just need help, either with additional resource or capabilities in media. So that just means that we kind of guide strategic media thinking internally, do training, run pitches and things like that.
Excellent. So, I mean, you must be pretty busy, because as you described it a few weeks back, we had a week that changed media forever, which I guess was your reaction to recent events in the States, and most particularly Mark Pritchard's speeches to the IAB and to the ANA. Could you say a little bit about that? Maybe you could summarize for people what it was that Mark said and why you think it's so important.
Yeah. Well, I mean, on the surface, Mark Pritchard obviously is arguably the most influential marketer in the world, in the sense that he's the most senior marketer at the largest marketing organization at P&G. But also this year, Mark has taken on a chairmanship role of the ANA, so the American Trade Association, representing billions and billions of dollars of US advertisers investment. So, when Mark takes the stage, people listen because of his influence and also the role that he plays now as trade body head. So a couple of weeks ago, Mark took the stage at the ANA's annual media conference, and which is significant because, it's great to have CMOs turn up at media conferences. I think it's an indication that media as a discipline is rising higher up the corporate agenda. It's subject to greater scrutiny than ever. And I think increasingly marketing departments are seeing media as an important component of the marketing mix. And to me, or to us, that indicates something quite significant, which is why we're getting quite excited about these things. It indicates that increasingly media is not being seen as a commodity and a discount, and perhaps instead being seen as an investment, a proper, genuine, legitimate marketing investment that drives a business outcome. So having Mark stand on stage and talk about media is a great thing. What he said was he expanded on what he's calling his media transparency action plan. And what that does is lay down a set of simple standards, if you like, that P&G are aspiring to when it comes to holding their media investment to account. So it discusses things like cleaning up what he called the crappy supply chain. So, standards for viewability, third-party verification of vendors, greater transparency in agency contracts, and those kind of things, which is good. Really good, really good and important stuff for brands. But what's really significant is that the way that Mark presents this is not just in a show and tell, this is what P&G is doing. It is a call to action. He wants collective action from marketers, not just in the US, but around the world, to come together and set better quality standards for media. And I think that's the thing. When we say media will change forever, is because what he will do is create collective action.
And you were at the ANA, weren't you?
Yes.
What was the reaction from other advertisers?
Really, really excited. I mean, I felt compelled to kind of stand up and applaud, but I was the only one. I didn't actually do it in the end, but because I just thought what he's saying is so significant. I really thought, you know, this is really is the beginning of something very exciting. You know, and bear in mind, I mean, this is Mark is committed to this narrative for the whole year. He's going to be on kind of tour, sharing this around the world. So, you know, just even after this 22 minute speech which was the second in a series of speeches that he's giving on this. You know, it was quite rousing, and you might have heard us kind of reference it. It was more like a briefing than a keynote speech. It wasn't full of, you know, kind of great rhetoric. It was really simple, accessible, plain English. You know, it was simple language. It was like a briefing to his troops. That's what it felt like. And so it was very motivating in that sense. And then, you know, speaking to, there's about 400 or 500 marketers present at this conference, and you know, speaking to people in the kind of the halls and the corridors and the bars of subsequent days, you know, really positive. I think from a marketer side, they took it for what it was worth, which is that actually, you know, it's less about the intricacies of the actual action plan. But what Mark does is he gives confidence to a marketer and he gives confidence to a media director to go back to their own organization and say, look, you know, this is what P&G are doing. You know, we need a mandate to tackle the same kind of challenges in our business. He's given the confidence to marketers. And I think that's the biggest outcome of this.
Yeah. I mean, one of the points that he made, and given the constituency we're talking to here, of course, one of the points that he made was a need for agreement on measurement and verification, as you said, and viewability standards and all those sorts of things. I mean, he has said subsequently, I think, that he has gone for a sort of baseline measure. I mean, do you think he could have gone for something a bit tougher, or do you think it's more sensible to go for a, let's get the basics in place and then we can build on the basics?
Yeah, I mean, and you know, what you just said, I mean, that was the big reaction coming largely from the kind of the agency and the vendor community that we were hearing immediately was, well, he hasn't gone far enough. You know, his standards, if you go and look, I mean, we won't probably go into the details of this, but if you go into the Media Ratings Council in the US, go on their website, it'll explain the different standards that they set out. And that's what Mark is advocating. You know, the single viewability standard is pretty base level. And lots of people, you know, even some marketers have said, well, we go further. Well, that's great. Mark is not saying that P&G will only demand the lowest levels of quality. Mm. What he's saying is that there should be nothing below that. What he's saying is that too much media inventory, too much stuff that's charged for, that's paid for by advertisers, doesn't even fulfill the most basic standards. And so we've got to completely eradicate the existence of that and also the acceptance of that by advertisers and their agencies. Anything that does not conform to even the lowest standard. Now, of course, over time, I mean, and P&G do strive for higher standards in, you know, in day-to-day practice, and many advertisers have gone way beyond and demanded, you know, very, very sophisticated and comprehensive levels of quality of viewability and verification. But this is a base level, and the reason that he's calling for collective action is because if we all demand minimum standards, that doesn't mean we're accepting minimum standards. It just means that creates a new baseline of quality from which we can build up.
Yeah, and I mean, any agency or any other advertiser or any vendor, of course, that has a higher standard of viewability, for example, can always say, well, you know, you should come to us or use us because we have a higher standard of viewability.
Yeah.
What he's putting in place is the sort of base below which nothing is acceptable.
Exactly. And for many advertisers, you know, this is, you know, as you know, you well know, but I mean, there's a vast spread of sophistication on the client side. Okay. And that doesn't always equate with scale. You know, so it's not always the biggest advertisers that are the most sophisticated and the smallest, you know, the least sophisticated. It's a real mix. And so there are different levels of maturity and sophistication of capability and knowledge within marketing organizations, big and small. You know, some are way ahead. Some are way ahead of P&G. I think Mark is kind of smashing the myth now that P&G was somehow the most sophisticated marketer in the world. You know, he's coming out and admitting that they've made mistakes, which I think is brilliant. Because that's the thing that gives us all confidence that, you know, we're not all laggards. You know, some are more advanced, some are demanding higher standards. But there are many advertisers in the long tail, and some of those include really big advertisers who are not even demanding just the basic standards of quality. And that's what's got to change now.
Yeah. And do you think that, I mean, this has obviously all happened in the States. So we've had his remarks to the IAB.
Yeah.
In the States, the ANA is obviously an American trade body. What do you think is the sort of reaction? What has been the reaction at ISBAR or indeed at the WFA come to that? I mean, I would imagine they're much in line with him, aren't they?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think they're seeing that, you know, and the two that you mentioned, I mean, both ISBAR and the WFA, you know, brilliant trade organizations as well, with their own initiatives and their own membership to manage. But they are... aligned, I think, with the key messages here, and I think they also realise perhaps that, you know, Mark Pritchard has the spotlight and has the attention, and he has the backing of the ANA, and that is a force to be reckoned with. So, I mean, I think it would be quite sensible if all of these trade bodies, you know, do align and do support each other, because they're advising obviously the same companies, but in different parts of the world. So it would be helpful, I think, if all the trade organizations were aligned to these common standards, and then could encourage their members in different parts of the world to take this collective action.
And one of the things, I mean, I worked on Procter for millions of years, but one of the great things about P&G is that when they say something in one part of the world and take a what is in effect a global initiative by definition, they do tend then to make that travel. You know, they do tend then to sort of say, right, well, that's what we do. We don't just do it in the States. We do it in the UK or in France or anywhere else. You know, that's what we believe in. So that's, I would imagine, that Procter UK, you know, Procter in the UK will be saying, yeah, you know, those are our rules. The fact that a man in America said it is kind of neither here nor there. Those are our rules.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this stuff, I mean, it's one of the reasons that we're so passionate about media and we love it so much, is that the principles are so universal. You know, every individual media market has its own nuance and sophistication and, you know, ways of trading and measurement and different associations and things like that. But, you know, the basic principles are pretty universal. And so, you know, and I think one of the beautiful things about the speeches that Mark's given, as I say, is the language is so accessible. It's not too technical. It's not too geographic specific. It's not too reliant on only technologies that only exist in really sophisticated markets. The principles are there and that can be applied anywhere. So we'll see that. And, you know, as we, P&G at the moment are reviewing, you know, their major agency relationships in many markets in Europe right now. So, you know, you'd be pretty likely that those principles are being put into place, you know, live right now.
Do you think, just moving on a little bit away from what Mark said, but there's been a lot of talk about a sort of gold standard currency for video. I mean, I suppose we should call it video now. So I'm talking about not just TV, of course, but Facebook and, you know, YouTube and everything else. Do you think such a thing is practical or desirable, or do you think it's more likely that we'll have a sort of TV gold standard and a Facebook gold standard or something else gold standard? I mean, is it possible, do you think, to bring these things together? Is it desirable to try and bring these things together?
Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, what do you mean by gold standard? What do you mean?
If we said that a view, I mean, you know, what is defined as somebody viewing something on TV is different from a view as defined by, let's say, Facebook. I mean, should there be a standard that says, no, a view means you have to have seen something for so many seconds and for, you know, a certain proportion of the ad needs to have been seen for a certain number of seconds. And that principle needs to be applied across all video channels.
I think there's two parts to the answer to that, which is, one is that, you know, of course we should try and aspire to some common standardization of kind of measurement. Yeah. And that's part of the complexity that we find ourselves in now, is that, you know, not only do we measure every channel, in different ways, but even, you know, vendors within channels have their own measurement, and particularly in the digital supply chain, we've got vendors, you know, providing their own metrics and not being subject to scrutiny. So the closer we can get to more singular measurements of you know, media metrics, then the better. So that's the first thing. But secondly, you know, if we just view and just value an impression or just value a view, then we're entirely commoditizing the market down to really base things. And I think that's been one of the root causes, I think, of the fact that many marketers are now finding that their investments in lots of digital marketing has been ineffective, because they've you know, been distracted or maybe seduced by the idea that, you know, a view on, you know, a random, you know, within a video player and some random website is equivalent in impact and effectiveness of a view on a TV station in a major drama series. But the only difference being that it's just seriously cheaper. You know, and when we view the world like that, what we end up with is buying cheaper and cheaper media placement, assuming that, you know, if we stick our creative in front of somebody and it's highly targeted and super cheap, that somehow that is job done. Mm. And we've completely lost sight of environment and context in media placement, which I think is really, really sad. You know, and this drive to ever kind of ever more accurate automation and precision targeting has made that we've forgotten about context of advertising, and that's important if you're trying to build a brand, which, you know, most marketers are still trying to build a brand. The analogy that we always use is that, you know, if you're an aspirational brand, let's say BMW. You know, brands are built in the minds of consumers, right? They don't exist on media plans or, you know, within the heads of creative directors. I mean, brands exist in the minds of consumers, and so therefore they have to be built there and nurtured there. And you can't build aspiration into a product in an effective way by using, you know, mobile banner ads or, you know, or crappy kind of video players, because you require your peers to have the same perception of the brand that you do. And so that's always been obviously one of the great benefits of mass marketing or broadcast media, is that, you know, I might aspire to own a BMW. And that's important because I know that all my neighbors will know that that's the thing that you should aspire to. You can't build that kind of brand and that desire just through precision one-to-one marketing. And so that's the obsession with that, I think, has meant that we've lost a little bit of understanding the context. So just to come back to your question, Brian, which is, you know, you need to factor in, whilst we want consistent metrics across channels and across vendors, we have to account for the premium that you pay for environment.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I think
critically important.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think that, you know, we've almost forgotten sort of how people use these channels as well, haven't we? I mean, consumers use these channels and the way in which they are impacted by them. So, you know, as you said, let's keep it simple, you know, a 10-second video on Facebook or on a platform which interrupts something you're doing versus an ad on TV is just it's just a different thing. I mean, it's not better or worse, it's just a different thing. It does a different job. Do you find, I mean, just final question, that's I'm running out of time, Tom, but do you find, you know, you're preaching to the converted here, I'm sure, but do you find when you go and talk to advertisers that this point of view about context and environment and all those things is now starting to resonate more than it perhaps was a few years ago?
I think so. I mean, again, it's one of those, you know, I think most marketers are on some kind of journey of exploration and this type of stuff. So there are some more sophisticated than others. I think marketers have got a good sense of, you know, that context and environment is where you really build your brand. through media, you know, and they seem like old-fashioned ways of thinking. But I think, you know, it's kind of radical old-fashioned thinking to think about actually how you use, you know, broadcast media in innovative ways. And that's a good challenge for marketers. The challenge when it comes to media is that marketers don't have, or in many places, they don't have full influence over media anymore. Mm. You know, they have to coordinate and collaborate with their procurement colleagues who, excuse me, who bring a great kind of diligence and discipline to media investment. But, you know, media's lost the guiding hand of the marketer in many places. And I think that's, and so therefore, the kind of context and the environment has become a casualty of that. But we do see brands, I mean, some of them publicly are announcing this. I mean, P&G is one of them, but there's many, many others saying that perhaps we went too far in precision marketing and we've kind of lost the ability to think about our brands. And then privately, we've got, you know, many advertisers that we've spoken to in the last year or two saying, you know, that when we actually do analysis of the effectiveness of our investments in digital, it comes out some of the worst of all the investments that we make, you know, in terms of the ROI that we get from it. And that's just challenging and causing marketers to now to rethink about how they apply this. I think we've seen more obsession and care and attention over placement. I think that, you know, the recent questions that are, you know, bubbling around at the moment about, you know, placement of ads around, you know, unsavory content. I mean, it's got to be a good thing because it's making us think about quality again. Mm. And I think we'll see more marketers want to put in place measures that can guarantee quality and also be prepared to pay a premium to put their advertising in quality environments. I think that's got to be a good thing.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Tom, well, that's a great place to stop. And thank you so much for your time and very interesting thoughts. And we'll see, of course, how this evolves and whether or not indeed media has changed forever. I'm pretty sure you're right. But watch this space, as they say. Thanks very much indeed, Tom.
Thanks, Brian.